course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave, joined as always by your other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
I am doing pretty good. Happy New Year.
That's right. It is New Year's 2026, the day this episode drops. And that means today we are reviewing 2025. We will be discussing our top five favorite horror releases for 2025, plus three honorable mentions. Hopefully everybody is had a good holiday, is going into this new year optimistic. We've got lots of big horror-related releases coming up. If you want to hear us talk about those, you can go listen to the previous episode of this one, which was our 2026 preview. But before we get into all that, Ike, I know we were recording a little early and everything else, but did you happen to watch anything?
Well, I did get a chance to watch the second volume of Stranger Things, which was good. Season 5, Volume 2, or whatever they're calling it. It was basically a 3-episode drop, and it was pretty solid. Definitely just a major gear up for the finale next week. But yeah, no, other than that, trying to think if I watched anything else. Nothing horror related. I watched a couple other movies, but yeah, I think that's it.
Let's see. I didn't watch anything. I haven't got to watch Stranger Things yet, but I will be soon. But no, nothing horror related since we last recorded. So easy peasy. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we will have our news and birthdays. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to Listen to Their Screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spreading the news. And welcome back with the news. All right. So the news this week is that there is no news. Like Dave said, we are recording a little bit early to accommodate our schedules. We have some partying to do on our normal recording time frame. So you know us, big partiers. And but we do have some upcoming birthdays, though. So January 7th of 1949, we have Stephen Williams, of course, known for his roles in Jason Goes to Hell and Supernatural. You'll have to remind me here, Stephen Williams, who is he in Supernatural?
It's Rufus.
You're okay. Yep, and he was the bounty hunter, Crichton or something like that, in Jason Goes to Hell.
That's right.
And, of course, we said happy birthday to Stephen Williams already. But as mentioned, Supernatural Rufus, I completely spaced that he was Rufus. But obviously, we have to mention Supernatural in every episode. That's just how it goes around these parts.
Definitely. I mentioned Supernatural pretty much everything, as much as possible.
Absolutely. Well, we'll jump to our next birthday, which is not a Supernatural alum, but it would have been really cool if he was. January 7th of 1964 is Nicolas Cage's birthday. Nick Cage, of course, is known for his roles in The Wicker Man, Long Legs, Renfield, and much, much more. He's been in a lot of stuff. One of my favorites of his, it's a very little, it's lesser now, it's called Willy's Wonderland. It's on Hulu, but he doesn't speak a word the entire movie.
Which is
an interesting role, but it honestly kind of reminds me of Five Nights at Freddy's in some way.
Yeah, he's in so much stuff. He's in that pig and everything. That's not even getting to anything that's non-horror related. I mean, you know, Face Off and all those movies. He's got a pretty incredible resume.
He does, very much so. But yeah, happy birthday, Nick Cage. And like I said, he wasn't in Supernatural, but it would have been really cool if he was.
That's right. Wouldn't be surprised if he had been.
Yeah, I was gonna say it seems like something he'd do on a whim. But all right, moving now to January 7th of 1982. It's weird that all of these people were born on the 7th. January 7th of 1982, Lauren Cohen, who of course we know from The Walking Dead, but she was also in Supernatural. Her character in Supernatural is short-lived, but you know, for like maybe a couple seasons, but a very memorable character from the early seasons.
Right, and yeah, she gets a good closure. You know, it's not one of those just hanging out there. But yeah, she's fantastic. She's a great actress.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, she was also in that movie, The Boy,
Oh yeah.
which was it was like a she was like the new babysitter or something like that.
Yeah. All
But
right.
yeah, she was in that too. I don't know why that popped in my head, but good stuff. Lauren Cohen is great. She's a Brit. She's from the from across the pond, if you will. But
Wouldn't know it from Walking Dead.
no, we wouldn't know it. Actually, I think I'm going to do a Walking Dead rewatch here soon. I've been thinking about doing that because there's some of the stuff that I've not seen. Like, I've not watched any of the Daryl Dixon show. I've also not watched like all of Fear of the Walking Dead and The World Beyond and stuff like that. So I think I'll have to go in and do a big rewatch soon.
Yeah, the Daryl Dixon's pretty good in the oh, what's the one called with Negan and well and Lauren Cohen
Oh, it's
Jeffrey
like
Dean
a
Morgan.
Dead City
Dead
or something
City.
like that.
Yeah, it's
Yeah.
pretty good too. But I love Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Nice. Yeah. I watched a couple episodes of Dead City and it was really good. But I got swooped into another show around the time. I don't remember what came out, but we got swooped into another show that I forgot. So yeah, I'll have to do a rewatch of those. I'll report back if I end up doing that. But all right. We're gonna jump now to some upcoming movie anniversaries. Like I said, no news, couple birthdays. And now some movie anniversaries. Starting us off here is January 4th, 2013. We have Texas Chainsaw. So this was sort of ahead of its time, actually. This was sort of a requel. Basically, this movie ignores the events of every Texas Chainsaw movie except for the first one. And the essential premise of this movie is that there's like one of the kids from the original family survives the events of the first movie and then like grows up normal, but then like gets sucked back into like the whole Texas Chainsaw drama. And it's pretty good. I think it has Alexandra Daddario in it, and she's pretty good.
Yeah. I like, I haven't, oh man, I bet I've only seen it once. I'm not seeing it near as much as the others in the franchise, but yeah, it's not bad. It's pretty good.
Yeah, naturally, it's pretty decent. Like I said, it was a little bit of ahead of the time. You know, the whole requel concept wasn't quite as popular in the early 2010s. So, you know, that's always fun to see. Texas Chainsaw has always been a little ahead of its time, though. So, no surprise there. But very good. Jumping now to January 5th of 2018, we have Insidious: The Last Key. So, of the Insidious movies, I do think this is one of the weaker ones. Not to say it was a bad one, it was just not as good as like the ones that have oh gosh, what's his name? The guy from The Conjuring and
Oh, Patrick.
Patrick.
What the hell?
Wow.
Why can't I think his name's down below? It's Patrick Wilson.
Yes, Patrick Wilson. Whew.
I don't
know
why
why
I
I
couldn't
was
think of
drawing a
that.
blank.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, but he was good in those first two. Yeah, Insidious Last Keys are. It's not as strong as the other ones.
Yeah, do I can't remember. Did we do an Insidious franchise episode? Or was that just The Conjuring?
I think we did an Insidious episode when Red Door came out. I think
I
for Red
think
Door, we
so.
ranked them, maybe.
Yeah, I think so. So there might be some Insidious talk in the archives, and I think it's very similar to that. I don't think we had a super high praises for The Last Key comparatively, but it's still okay.
Yeah, absolutely. None of them are bad. It's just some are better than others. Very good. Jumping now to January 6th of 2006, we have Hostel. This is an Eli Roth special. Hostel's good. It's been a long time since I've seen this movie, and I've never watched the sequels. But this movie definitely pushed the boundaries of like body horror and gore and like torture, and yeah, they did a lot of stuff in this one, and they definitely pushed the boundaries of what normal people would anticipate from horror movies. But it's pretty good. It's pretty decent.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't think I've seen Hostel that I can remember. So definitely that should be on my list to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. I recommend it. It's a good Eli Roth movie, so. But very good. So Hostel in the books. We got one more, January 6th of 2023. We have Megan. We do have a full review in the archives. We also talked about Megan too. Yeah, I definitely recommend checking out that review. We loved Megan. Megan 2 did not get quite as much in terms of love, but Megan was great. Definitely a strong one.
Yeah, Megan, super good. Megan 2.0, not so much. So it was weird how the dichotomy of those two movies, very odd. Yeah, loved Megan. It was a really, really strong movie.
Yeah, absolutely. But very good. So that's all of our anniversaries. And we have one upcoming release. We have We Bury the Dead, starring Daisy Ridley, coming to theaters on January 2nd. It is described as, after a catastrophic military disaster, the dead don't just rise, they hunt. Ava searches for her missing husband, but what she finds is far more terrifying. And we will be reviewing this movie next episode. I've seen a trailer for this during another film. And apparently this movie did really good on the with like festivals and stuff like that. So I've heard a lot of hype about this movie. So yeah, I think this will be good. I'm excited. I'm obviously always excited for anything zombie related, you know. So very, very happy for this movie to be coming out.
I know it does have a lot of buzz. A lot of people are talking about it online, and I love Daisy Ridley. I really do. I don't think she's out there enough. I know she gets the Star Wars movies get knocked unfairly to me. Are they as strong as the others? Nah, but they're not horrible. And they're definitely for the flaws. It definitely has nothing to do with Daisy Ridley. I think she's great in them. So I think it'd be interesting. I really like to see her do more horror type movies. I think she'd be great at it.
Yeah, I agree. I think Daisy really kind of got thrown into the typecast of Rey from Star Wars, and I know she's also been kind of dealing with some health issues, if I recall correctly. So she hasn't been acting a whole lot, and yeah, so I'm very curious to see how she does. I think she's obviously going to do great, but just yeah, I'm very curious to see how well she does, and how her horror chops kick in.
Right. I think it'll be great. I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Very good. But all right. Like I said, it's a pretty slow news week. We didn't have a crap ton of birthdays, anniversaries, and or releases for that matter. So but we will take a quick break and we will get to the meat and potatoes of today's episode, which will be our 2025 review, including some honorable mentions. So stick around.
Hey, Bruiser buddies. I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today. With the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
All right, and welcome back to Listen to Their Screams. Like I said, it's 2025 review time, and we have three honorable mentions that we're going to just very quickly rattle off here. First honorable mention, VHS Halloween, written and directed by several people, starring lots of people, because it is an anthology segment type show. It was released on October 3rd to Shudder. We did review. I venture to guess, I think every movie on our lists we reviewed. So there's reviews for them all in the archives. But we love the VHS movies. We talk about each one. We talk about how the franchise, the series, just progressively gets better and better. And I think Halloween was right there with it. I really liked it. I think if we had slipped into our top five, I don't think it would have been surprising. So I think it's very worthy of an honorable mention.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Next honorable mention, Silent Night, Deadly Night, written and directed by Mike P. Nelson, starring Rowan Campbell, Ruby Modine, and others. It was just released December 12th in theaters. Did pretty well. Again, we just had a review of it. It was one of those movies we didn't know what to think, right? A remake or a retelling of an old movie that's sometimes trepidatious, but they pulled it off, did very well, put their own flavor on it, and I really like this movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
And our third honorable mention, absolutely, is The Conjuring Last Rites, written by N. Goldberg, Richard Ng, and David Leslie Johnson, Mick Goldrick. Dude, you need to get a pen name. Directed by Michael Chave, starring Patrick Wilson, Vera Farmiga, and others, released September 5th in theaters. Again, we have a review of this, and this was, we really liked this. We thought this was kind of brought The Conjuring back up to the level of some of the previous movies. I think they, if it is indeed the last mainline Conjuring movie with those two in it, I think they closed it out pretty strongly.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And obviously, I don't want to go too far on it, but great movie. Hopefully setting up for some expenditure in other directions, potentially.
Yeah. Well, I think they're already planning to do another, right? That with the one, I'm not doing real well with names, with the one lady. I think there is another Conjuring movie coming, or not a Conjuring series of some sorts or something. But I don't know. Supposedly we've seen the last of Ed and what's her name? Lorraine, right? Ed and Lorraine. But we'll see about that. So, all right then, let's dive into our top five favorite horror releases for 2025. So Ike, kick us off with number five.
Absolutely. So kicking us off here at number five is Final Destination Bloodlines. This was released on May 16th in theaters, written by Guy Busick, Laurie Evan Taylors, and John Watts, directed by Zach Lipofsky and Adam Stein, starring Caitlin Santa Juana, Teo Briones, and others. This movie grossed $51,600,106 domestically on opening weekend. Good for numero uno. We both gave this generally favorable reviews on our review of it way back when, and I think we both really were touched by the inclusion and of Tony Todd as one of his last moments in film. And Final Destination Bloodlines really felt like an old school Final Destination movie. It really tied everything together in a very, very nice, neat way, but also left it open for more content in the future, while also signing off Tony Todd as his character in the film. So definitely one of those ones that I need to go back and rewatch.
Yeah, it was really good, right? And a lot of people talked about it. Again, there were so many Final Destination movies, right? And I believe we talked about this, right? They kind of, a lot of them blur together. But this one, it was kind of fresh and unique, right? Just a little bit of a twist to how they approach it. And it stands out. I feel like you remember this one a little better than some of the others, which is, to me, what you want to do. And I'm sure we're going to get more as good as it did. I can't imagine, but to me, that opening weekend, that had to surpass what they anticipated, I believe. I mean, surely you hope for that stuff, but I mean, I don't think they realistically thought it would do that. And but I'm glad, right? I'm always glad when a horror movie, really succeeds or overachieves.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like you said, we even talked about it a little bit during a review, if I recall correctly, that I think that this way surpassed what people thought it was going to do. And that's by no means a bad thing.
That's right. Very, very good. All right. Number four, Five Nights at Freddy's 2, released December 5th in theaters, written by Scott Cawthon, directed by Emma Tammy, starring Josh Hutcherson, Piper Rubio, Elizabeth Lail, and others. This movie grossed $64,007,430 domestically opening weekend for number one. Now, this one, yeah, it really, really banked at the box office, but that was not surprising. That was anticipated. But I still think, even though they had high expectations, I think $64 million, they were probably still pretty damn pleased with that. And, we talked about this movie, obviously in our review that we really liked the first one, but I think we both kind of thought this one was just a bit of a better movie overall, in the pacing, the storytelling. And some of that just might be right. You don't have to set as much of the stage, right? Because you've done a lot of that in the first movie. But we really like this, and we think it really, really very nicely sets up the third movie that will, of course, be forthcoming. These are one of those fun movies for us to review where one of us is super invested in the property, the franchise, the other is not. It's pretty, oh man, I don't know the word I'm trying to say. It's quite an accomplishment when a movie can, please both sides of that, which it, this movie did, right? You're very invested in the franchise. You super enjoyed it, thought it was, you know, great and respectful of the franchise. I didn't have a whole lot of knowledge, and I am not invested, and I just thought it was just a great movie that was very fun. So hats off for walking that line, and very well done.
No, absolutely. Like you said, we definitely had two different perspectives on Five Nights, whereas I grew up with it, right? It was something that I started playing in high school, and I've been able to kind of continue to play it into my adult years, into my 30s now. And I also have watched all, the gameplay, watched all the movies, all the YouTube videos. So, like, I'm very deeply invested in the lore, potentially too much so. So from my perspective, yeah, I have all these great memories of this, but then I'm like, also, hey, this is like amazing. This is really cool shit. And then from your perspective, you're like, well, hey, I like the first movie. I want to see how this movie lives up to that first movie in terms of what's in the movie. And you were able to pick up on some of those nuances and some of those secrets, while also just being sort of more of a layman in this case.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, that's, always a fun thing, right? It's always a good thing when a movie can walk that line.
Yes.
And appeal to both those. And that's, and when that happens, bam, you get 64 million opening weekend and strong performances moving on. That's what happens.
Absolutely.
So.
Very good. Well, all right. We'll jump now to number three. And this is what I'm excited about. I'm glad that we put these lists together. Like, obviously, we put these together and we send them to each other. And then we kind of figure out what goes where. But thankfully, like, I think our top three were pretty much the same.
Yeah. And I will say that they're not surprising, right? And it's, I don't know. You make this list, you want to, in the back of your head, you say, oh, I want to be clever, right? I want to have my own spin. I'm sorry, though. It's hard with our top three. It's hard not to give the props to them. And
it is.
Because I think the top three here, as good as all these other movies are, and as good as, the year as it was, to me, these three movies just stood out above it. Anybody that watches horror is going to absolutely know the three movies. I mean, everybody talks about them. But I think they truly stood out amongst the pack this year.
Absolutely. So we'll get us started here with number three. So top three, we have number three, Bring Her Back. This was released May 30th in theaters, written by Danny Philippou and Bill Hensman, and directed by Danny and Michael Philippou, starring Billy Garrett, Sally Hawkins, Misha Haywood, and others. This grossed $7,194,666 domestically on opening weekend, good for number five. So this is by and large the lowest grossing film on this list, but it was one of the best. Bring Her Back did so much and with so little, and it's an Aussie film, of course. It's very evident when you watch it. It's very clearly Australian, but the people who made this were the same people who made the Talk to Me movie.
Yeah,
and just like
I love too.
Oh, absolutely. Talk to Me is great. And this movie has the very infamous scene where the fucking kid starts chewing on a butcher knife, which they released ahead of the movie. And it's like, bro, like, why would you release that? Like, but at the same time, like, I still watched the movie. But that scene still just makes my skin crawl thinking about it.
And I hadn't thought about it. You just brought it up. But it does. It makes you cringe, right? Yeah, again, such a good movie, right? They, I love Talk to Me. I love this one. Excited to see what they do next. But like I said, it just stood out from everything else this year. So, great, great movie. As is our number two choice, Weapons, released August 8th in theaters, written and directed by Zach Cregger, starring Julia Garner, Josh Brolin, and others. It grossed $43,501,217 domestically on opening weekend. Also good for number one. And again, I know everybody talks about weapons, how good it is. And, you know, you could sit there and say, oh, it's unoriginal. It's like, no, it's not unoriginal. It's just a damn good movie. And how can you deny it, right? Like I said, these movies stood out. And I don't feel the need to try to be, I don't know, some kind of weird hipster that has to pick something else over just the obvious good movies, right? They're obvious for a reason. And this is a spectacular movie. We talked about, we liked the way they told the story and the parts and the different perspectives and everything else, and just the way it was made. It was just, again, it was just such a good movie.
No, absolutely. Like you said, I mean, Weapons is, it might be sort of like the stereotypical, like, oh, what was your favorite movie this year? Maybe so, but it is no argument. There's no contention that Weapons just did such a good job. It has some of the best marketing campaigns, yeah, like, in recent time. And it just, to me, it really pushed, like, that line of, like, what's real, what's fake, you know, like, let's figure out what's going on. And at no point in the movie did I know what was going on until they were ready to tell me what was going on. That was the other thing. And you're just like, well, every 5 seconds you're questioning. Every time they get past a story or a section of the story, you're still like, what the fuck just happened? So absolutely. I loved Weapons. Weapons is one of those ones where I was not expecting it to be as good as it was, and it turned out to be even better.
That's right. Absolutely.
But all right. I think that brings us now to number one. And again, I don't think anybody's going to be super surprised about what's number one. But we'll go ahead and say it just in case you don't know. Our number one for 2025 is Sinners, released on April 18th, written and directed by Brian Coogler, starring Michael B. Jordan, Jack O'Connell, Haley Steinfeld, and others. This film grossed $48,007,469 domestically on opening weekend. Good for numero uno. Now, Dave and I both loved Sinners for a variety of reasons. Not only did it have that classic vampire sort of lore and that very traditional vampire story, but it also had a little bit of a twist on, you know, what is a vampire? How do vampires act? And, you know, what do vampires do? It also was historical, and it was a period piece, and that it tackled some really difficult subjects, but it also was musical, and it had a lot of soul and just a beauty to it. And there's so many great things that have come out of this movie, so many great lines, so many great tag things. It's just so beautiful. And I forever just, I love that scene at the end. I mean, it's been out for a while now, so I think everybody's seen it by now. That scene at the end where Michael B. Jordan's character goes back, he's one of the twins, but he got turned into a vampire. He goes back to visit the kid, and he's talking like, you know, sometimes I think that was the best night of my life because, you know, once the sun rised, I never saw my brother again, you know, or something like that. It was just super emotional, but also it did have that scariness to it. It had that tension and that fear. Just amazing. Beautiful.
Yeah, it definitely was. And I'm a blues fan, so anything where you tie in some blues music into it, that just sets it apart for me too. But again, it was just a gorgeous movie, very well made, very well told. Michael B. Jordan just knocked it out of the park, as he always does. And again, I don't care, right? Is it the obvious choice? Yeah, probably, but there's a reason why. I mean, the damn movie was probably not only the best horror movie of the year, it's probably the best movie of the year. And it is up for numerous awards, which might pan out and show that. So, you know, I can't go against it, right? We can't pick something different because it's just that obvious. And it is what it is. It's a great movie. Sinners number one for 2025. And but of course, there were lots of other great releases in 2025. Right off of here, there's, you know, Wolfman, Hard Eyes, The Monkey, Clown in the Cornfield, 28 Years Later, The Creep Tape Series, Queens of the Dead, I Know What You Did Last Summer, The Toxic Avenger, The Last Walk, It, Welcome to Derry Series, Frankenstein, Good Boy, The Ugly Stepsister, so many others. So many of those could have been in that top five, and it wouldn't have, you know, you couldn't argue against them. There were some really, really great movies. This was a really good year for horror. And if you listened to our preview episode last week, you know that, hey, 2026 is shaping up to be pretty damn good as well. And that's not even including, you know, many of the other things that we got from Shudder and Screambox for the year. So very well done. It was an exciting year and very fun to watch and review these movies. And like we said earlier, next episode, we will be reviewing We Bury the Dead, which is coming to theaters January 2nd. We'd like to say thank you to our wives and then all of our listeners and followers for yet another great year in the books. 2025, we continue to grow in listenership. We continue to grow in social media following. We got lots of great interaction from you guys. You know, we continue to get, you know, lots of screener links and different things. So, and that's all because of the wives and the listeners. You guys and your support and everything is just it means the world. And it is what has got us to where we are and the continued growth going into 2026. So let's make it another great year for the horror genre. As we always say, right, as horror fans, let's make sure we represent ourselves well as fans. And let's don't be little bitches. Let's don't be little gatekeepers. And, you know, let's don't be whatever, you know, any little, you know, fascist Nazis and all the other things that haunt the world right now. Let's be cool, man. And let's just have fun, be supportive, be inclusive, and be welcoming, because horror is the best genre in the world, and so therefore we should want everybody to enjoy it. And so be sure to subscribe to us on social media. We're on all the platforms. Just search for Listen to Screams or Listen to Their Screams, and you will find us. So before we close, Ike, and officially, I know this episode comes out on the 1st of 2026, but this really officially launches us into the year. Is there anything you'd like to add?
Oh, boy. Yeah, I mean, it's same thing every year. I mean, you know, we're jumping into the new year. Like I said, people are not going to hear this before the end of the year, but I hope everybody still has all their fingers. I know that down here in the South, people like to shoot off fireworks on New Year's Eve. And I'm sure that's other places too. Weirdly enough, I went to Walmart today and had to go do some shopping, and they had a fireworks stand set up in the parking lot. So it's in full swing. Yeah, no, just hopefully everyone's still got their fingers. You know, like you said, just continue to support horror. I mean, that's the big thing that we always try to talk about on here to our listeners is, you know, always support horror in any way you can. You know, go see these movies in theaters, because the more times you watch a movie in theaters, the more movies you do watch in theaters, that hopefully the more movies that they'll make in this vein of the genre, you know. But yeah, hopefully everybody's out there having a good time. Hopefully everyone had a safe New Year's. Don't drink and drive, neuter your animals, and let's see, stay safe and happy. I mean, that's all you can do. That's all you can do these days.
That's right. If you look here at our list, I think there was four or five of the movies that were number one on their opening weekend. Lots of them made big, big money. So it's good to see horror fans showing out. A lot of these movies are up for lots of awards, which is a great trend on the upswing, right? Used to. Horror movies never got acknowledged for anything except for maybe effects. And so it's nice to see some recognition, and hopefully that continues to happen in the future. So thank you for a great 2025, and here's to a great 2026 coming in. And as we dive in, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.